Well, I appreciate the faithfulness at our revival meeting last week. Did y'all enjoy Brother Tom? He's a real blessing. 37 years in evangelism, that's a long time. And Brother Jerry, I imagine he's seen a few things. And probably seen a lot of changes in his day. But I appreciate y'all supporting the meeting, and I hope you got help in your life. In your Bibles tonight, the book of Philippians. Turn over there with us, and you won't need to stand tonight. I'm going to be reading a few verses here and there. Don't really know where we're going to be landing. Book of Philippians, chapter number 1. We'll start reading. In verse 1, the Bible said, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi. Now notice they were not in Philippi. They were in Christ Jesus. They were at Philippi. Now, we're at Bowdoin, Georgia, and we're in Christ tonight. Boy, it makes a big difference. I'm so glad that I'm not in Bowdoin, Georgia and out of Christ. But I'm at Bowdoin, Georgia and in Christ. And if we're in Him, we've got everything. And I want to say it's a great place to be. Oh, I'm glad. I mean, aren't you glad that when He sees us, He sees His Son? He don't see who we are, what we've done, but He sees His marvelous Son. We're hid in Christ. All my sins are hid in Him. And so you know something? If I'm in Christ, that means my past sins, my present sins, and my future sins is in Christ. And oh, I'm glad the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Now, He says this. Remember, He spoke and He said, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus. He did not say that he was the apostle of the Lord Jesus. Here at Philippi, he had established this church. As he is going toward the east, the Holy Ghost sent him to the west, went toward Europe. Then remember, the great Puritan sailed this way and brought us the gospel of the Lord Jesus. My brother, just kept sailing in the east. This wouldn't be the Bible Belt tonight. Boy, aren't you glad them old Puritans come over and set up worship in the United States of America. They left for freedom. And you know something tonight, folks? We ought to stand for our freedom. And we ought to realize it's a privilege to be at the house of God tonight, to worship Him in spirit and truth. I got to thinking, what if he had turned and went to the east and left the west undone, and this would have been the great mission field? My, this is the Bible Belt tonight. The Southeast, Carolinas, and Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi. Great Bible Belt. But what if he'd have turned and went east and never would have reached America? Wouldn't that have been sad? But he turned, the Holy Ghost moved him toward Philippi, toward the west, and he established that church. He seen Lydia saved and the jailer saved. The little demoniac girl saved, and so they established this church in Philippi. Paul now, he's writing from a prison cell. He's been locked up for preaching the gospel. A lot of times we wonder, you know, why we suffer for the cause of Christ. Anybody in this Bible, friend, that ever walked with Jesus paid a price for it. And don't think tonight it's free being a Christian. It's not. No, Calvary didn't cost us nothing, but it will cost you something to be a Christian. It'll cost you some friends, cost you some family. It even cost you some habits. Thank God for that. But oh my, we find them in Christ Jesus at Philippi. He addresses himself as Paul the servant. We talked about that servanthood of the saints of God. And you know, the servant was translated as bond slave. Now we're freed from the bondage of sin. Now, folks, tonight, if you're bound in addiction, you don't have to be. If the Holy Ghost lives in you, the Bible says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You may be fighting addictions in your life. You don't have to fight it by yourself. The Lord has won that battle tonight. You ought to turn it over to the Lord and ask the Lord to help you with that bondage. We're no longer servants of the world, but we're servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I won't say it again tonight. It feels pretty good to say that. We're redeemed by the blood. We're not religionists tonight. We're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, redeemed means ransom. He paid the price. And so We are a slave to our master. We talked about the master is responsible for his slaves and where he puts his slaves. Well, a lot of times you say, well, I wish the Lord had put me over there, but no slave ever went to the master and said, I want to work in the lower field today. I want to work in the upper part. No, no. You see, the slave reports into the master. The master is the Lord Jesus, and he places us wherever he needs us in his field. Whatever you're doing tonight, it is a great privilege to be in the master's field. I mean, whatever you're doing for the cause of Christ, we ought to thank God he just one day put us in the field and redeemed us by his blood. We talked about Paul said he was a servant. Then he said, he used another word there, to all the saints. Saint means a set apart one or consecrated. Christian is a Christ one. I wonder, does anybody on your job know that you're a Christ one? Wonder, does anybody know where you live? Do you know about this Jesus that we teach and preach? Is your light shining where you're working, where you're living? Oh, a Christian simply means a Christ one. So then he says this, verse 2, grace be unto you and peace. You'll never have peace till grace comes. He didn't say peace then grace, but grace be unto you. And then peace, look what he said, from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. This world's looking for peace everywhere. But you'll never have peace till you know the Lord Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin by His amazing grace. Then he said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you in verse 3. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to thank this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. Now, I will preach on this topic tonight, on this second lesson in the book of Philippians, on our companions along the way. Some companions along the way. You'll notice in verse number 3, he spoke of a fellowship in the gospel. He said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. We find this early church was in fellowship with the gospel. Now, note in verse 3 that Paul remembered them personally. He said, quickly, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I wonder if you ever met anybody that every time you had a thought about them, you thanked God for. You won't find many of them in your life. You'll find a lot of them when you think, you can't hardly thank God for them. But you know, Paul said they're special people. He said, I thank my God on every remembrance of you. They were special to him. He remembered them personally. Now, I wrote this down that some author penned. I really did like it. He said, memory follows man like his own shadow. Boy, that's something we can never stop our memory out. That's why it's so important what our minds, what we let our minds see, where our minds go. Friend, I'm going to tell you, you can take some snapshots of things in life, and it'll roll like a projection the rest of your life, the things you've seen. That's why we ought to keep our little ones from the things of this world as much as we can. That's why so many people is hooked on pornography tonight. They take one little glimpse, one little look, and the devil puts them hooks in them. No different than gambling or alcoholism or drugs tonight. We better watch what our mind looks at. Amen? Amen? It'll stay with us a long time. So our memory follows man like a shadow. And so, he remembered them personally. In verse 4 then, he remembered them prayerfully. He said, always in every prayer of mine for you all making requests with joy. Wouldn't that be a blessing, Brother Dennis, to be on the Apostle Paul's prayer list? He said, always in every prayer of mine for you all making requests with joy. My goodness, I wonder how long's your prayer list? I've seen this tonight. I happen to think about this. See, I wonder how many times we do anything about what Sister Sharon spends time on. I got to thinking tonight, I wonder if any of these folks, if it depended on the prayers of our church, how many would be healed off this list this week that we've prayed for? I wonder if you got any loved ones on there. Oh, it's very important we have a prayer list. Paul said, I pray for you daily. Folks, let me tell you something. I heard a man preach in a camp meeting in Kentucky last year. He was 95 years old. He'd been preaching 75 years. He got up and he spoke on prayer. He gave his introductory sermon. He said, I want to preach to you this morning on this thing of prayer. And I got to thinking, what could a man 75 years of preaching, I want to hear what he's got to say about prayer. And I'll remember this as long as I live. This is what he said. He said, it's not how long you pray, just don't go long without praying. And tonight I want to challenge every member of Liberty Baptist Church to have themselves an altar. Ladies, I want to challenge you to have an altar. Well, preacher, I can't find no place for an altar. I tell you, one of the greatest places you'll ever find, get you no armchair. Get down in front of that chair. Get down there and do business with the Lord Jesus and pray. Find yourself an altar that you can steal away. You say, well, I got children to raise. Well, Daddy, you ought to watch the young'uns and let her pray. Or Mama, you ought to get up and start the day early. Pray. Daddy, you ought to start the day early and pray. I want to encourage you tonight to pray. Folks, prayer's where it's at tonight. Prayer's what we're missing. Y'all remember the other morning as the men went down and prayed and we come up and the ushers couldn't even take up the money. The Holy Ghost was just every place in this building. Folks, that's what we're missing is praying. Oh, how we've got to get to praying. Paul prayed for his people. He was in fellowship with them and his prayer was persistent. He said in verse 4, always in every prayer of mine for y'all making requests with joy. Folks, please pray for your preacher. Pray for your leadership of your church. Pray for your loved ones. Pray for your lost ones. Find a place and pray. Now, their fellowship in the gospel. He remembered them personally. He remembered them prayerfully. And he prayed persistent. But then you'll notice also in verse 4, he prayed with petitions. Look what he prayed for. Always in every prayer of mine for y'all, making requests with joy. Now, he made requests to God on their behalf. And then notice also in verse 4, not only did he pray with persistent, not only did he pray with a petition, but he prayed with pleasure. Look what he said, making requests with joy. He said, it's a joy to pray for you. Folks, there's nothing like praying, nothing like praying. The other morning, I had to go on some church business early. Got up before my normal time and I run out the door. I got about to where I was headed and I just remembered that I missed my altar, Brother Tim, that morning. I felt like I'd left my coat. I bowed my head and got me an altar in my truck and began to pray. And friend, I'm going to tell you something. Prayer changed your life. Prayer will change your day. I challenge you to do that. And let me tell you, if we want to do anything for God, we better have this prayer thing covered. Oh, thank the Lord for the people that's praying. But he prayed with joy. Lord, it's nothing like praying in the Holy Ghost. Nothing like getting up and feeling your burdens gone. And it's nothing like getting up and you know that you've prayed and you've accessed heaven for the folks that need you praying for. Oh my goodness, it's wonderful to pray. Now, I want to share this with you tonight. He prayed with pleasure. You notice that he made an access. He made requests. Let's look at something tonight. And I want you to take these notes and remember this when you pray. It's really helped me. 1 Timothy 2 and verse number 1. 1 Timothy 2, verse number 1. Let's look at this prayer. Let me see if I can explain tonight. Paul is writing to Timothy. Timothy has been led to the Lord by Paul. Timothy's a young preacher. Paul's fixing to give him assignments. Paul's fixing to leave out. He's raising a preacher boy. And this is what he says. He says, I exhort therefore that first of all, he said, before you do anything else, the best advice I can give you is this right here. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. He said, Timothy, I want you to learn first of all to pray. Now I want you to break this down. I want you to look at these four attributes of prayer tonight. First of all, watch this. There's the word supplication. Supplication. What does that mean? Why would he break it down in four areas of petitioning God? He said, first of all, supplications. That simply means that we are to pray out of need or our lack to exist. What we need to get by. God wants to hear that from you. You hear me tonight? God wants you to ask Him for what you need. Well, don't He know, preacher? Sure He knows, but it's just something about asking. I believe prayer changes things tonight. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. If you have a need or a lack to exist, that word supplication is what it means. And watch, first of all, a lot of times we don't want to pray for what we need. We feel guilty. Paul said that's the first thing you ought to pray for is what you need. Devil ever told you? Devil tells me a lot of times, you always praying self-centered. Me. And I do a lot. But I just noticed that tonight. He said we ought to pray for our needs first. What you need. You need something spiritually, ask God for it. It's not all about clothes and shoes and bicycles. What do we need spiritually? I've got a problem with my mind. Pray and ask God to help you with your mind. I need help with my marriage. What you need to exist. So, Lord, I wish You'd change her. You probably need to be changed. I wish You'd change him. You, the one, probably needs to be changed. You ought to be saying, dear God, I've got this need and help me. So supplications is prayer out of need or lack to exist. Number two, he used the word prayers. That's addressed to God in adoration. It's simply saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Oh my, we ought to be caught constantly to give God the adoration that He deserves. Oh, how we should lift Him high and holy tonight. Friend, let me tell you something. He's not the servant. A lot of times we want to bring Him down on our level, but listen, He's holy tonight. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And oh my, this thing of prayers, we ought to address God in adoration and thank Him for being holy and who He is. And then thirdly, look what it says. Not only of all supplications, prayers, but intercessions. This word intercession simply means a falling in with. I said this the other night. I think maybe it's stuck in a few places. I hope it sticks some more tonight. Because the Bible said that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We need to hear some things over and over and over. This thing of intercessions, listen to me. Who are you benefiting praying? This thing of intercessions means that you are benefiting others. We've got to access the throne of God for others. You say, well, prayer don't do nothing. Just pray for me. You don't believe prayer does nothing. Just spend your time praying for me, would you? My intercessory, we ought to come into God's presence for our brother and sisters in need. We got families in our church without a job. We ought to be praying for them family. We got families here that's got lost children. We ought to be praying for them families. And as you begin to pray, the Holy Ghost will lay these people on your heart. There's times when I get down and begin to pray, I don't even have some of you on my mind, but the Holy Ghost brings that in my mind and my heart, and I begin to pray. Is anybody benefiting from you praying? That's intercessions. And then lastly, fourthly, he says the giving of thanks. This is not adoration, but it's appreciation. And giving of thanks. In other words, we ought to thank God for what we've got. You say, well, preacher, well, look around and think about really what you've got. Quit looking around what other folks has got and just look at what you got. I've noticed this. People that's always jealous is because we're always jealous of somebody that's ahead of us. Some of you jealous because some folks got a good job. Shame on you. You ain't never going to have a good job till you can pray for those that's got a good job. We ain't got no room for no jealousy. We ought to give God thanks for what we've got. Amen? Ain't no biggins, ain't no littlins. And I can just see some of you jealous about younguns. I can see it in your eyes. I'm your pastor. I got the Holy Ghost in me. You can't hide a lot from this old man of God. I can pick up one of them babies and say, well, he'll pick up my baby. You old jealous, green-eyed monster. You ought to pray for one another and love one another. Ain't nobody perfect. Giving of thanks. He said we ought to be made for all men. My, my, how we ought to pray. Folks, pray. Don't forget to pray if it's ever been a time. And let me tell you something. I'm not a Obama fan. But it's my duty to pray for him. Look in Romans 13 tonight. Romans 13. It's no accident he's in office. I don't say a lot about, you know, things till it begins to be wrong. But let me tell you something tonight. Obama is a man like me and you that's going to stand before God. God wants us to pray for him tonight. Do you understand me? It just because this man's black, I don't care if he's purple. I could care less what color his skin is. I just wish that he would turn this nation to God. One man's not, this is how stupid men's got. You can't fix stupid. One man didn't mess this thing up. One man ain't gonna fix it. It's gonna take the God of our forefathers to move His hand on our country. And I'm gonna tell you something. I saw another preacher this week, Brother Phil. I'm wondering, does this have something to do with bringing America to its knees? I've noticed our church attendance is up. Remember when the planes hit the towers? In New York, the balcony was filled. Everybody was worried. They was panicking. Then they cleaned it up and things got all right and the balcony empty. Boy, ain't it something how that when we get in hard times, our praying will pick up. You ever notice that? You ever notice when your checkbook's full and everything's a balancing, you don't pray? But you ever notice when you sort of go getting slack and low, you'll go to pray? You ever notice when your baby gets sick, you go to praying? You ever notice when your loved ones is someplace you don't want them to be, and you go to praying? You ever notice that how trials and heartaches get you closer to God and filled with the Holy Ghost in a way that you've never been? You ought to thank God for trials and storms and heartaches tonight. Honey, you can't even shout on the mountaintop. Thank God. You can worship in the valley when things ain't going real good. They help us. They help us. Maybe He's helping America tonight. Boy, I wish everybody would realize. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't know what's going to happen if it goes in the Great Depression. There's no farms no more. We can't eat these shotguns and four-wheelers. And don't know what we're going to do. Our forefathers didn't even know it was a depression. You know why they was eating canned green beans and canned corn on the cob? They're eating 3 or 4 good grain-fed pigs every year. Eating molasses out of a bucket. Sweet milk wasn't strained. I don't know what America's going to do. Some of y'all too good to eat rabbits. You better go to liking it. Rabbit. We run enough around here, somebody's sheep will have plenty to eat. He prayed. Watch this. Romans 13, verse 1. Anybody at your job says, well, we elected the president. No, you didn't. God elected him.
Let every soul be subject to the higher powers. It's got to be a principle of abiding the law. Got to be. God has standards. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. All right, preacher, we just lay down like those hard shell Baptists and do nothing. No, I don't know what hard shell means. I guess I'm a hard shell. My shell's pretty hard. Hard-headed. No, we're to do what we're supposed to know to do by this Bible. Stand on our convictions. But let me tell you something. This Bible says, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Will thou not then be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, thou shalt have praise of the same. But he's a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. I believe God believes in capital punishment. For he's the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Now you tell me how in the world, here another rabbit done got up, I'm just going to tell you what I believe tonight. If you got a man on a film, you got a smoking gun, why are we going to feed him 20 years? What did this Bible just say? He said the powers that be are ordained of God to execute wrath on the ungodly. If it was some fear back in our country, our young'uns would be in better shape in the streets of America. Thugs are not scared no more. Thugs will knock your door down and get your young'uns and your wife and everything you got. Because they know they're going to go to the Hilton. God's got standards, folks, and we've got so liberal in America. And now the things that used to be wrong are right. Sin's still sin. Shacking up, still shacking up. Homosexuality, still homosexuality. Lesbianism, still lesbianism tonight. A drunkard, still a drunkard. He ain't an alcoholic, he's a drunkard. Sin, sin, folks. And it's a payday coming someday, and I'm afraid it's come to America. You know what I hate it for, Brother Randall, is them two little, the little size kids here tonight. Them that come put their little money in the buckets on Sunday. That's what really bothers me about America tonight. That's scary. Your grand young'uns. Scary. So their fellowship in the gospel. Boy, and like Brother David said, not isn't it a blessing to be able to come with believers in a church that loves the Lord Jesus and can fellowship? It's just a blessing. Just a blessing. So we see their fellowship in the gospel. He prayed for them. Don't forget supplications. It means your need or lack. Prayers means adoration to God. Exalting Him. Intercessions is a falling in with, praying for our brothers and sisters. And a giving of thanks is appreciation. God, thank you for what you've done for me. Folks, we ought to be teaching our children these qualities of prayer tonight. Little old Nick, he blesses my heart. Mr. Renee seen him down at the funeral home the other night. And he's just, I don't know, this little old, seems like God will melt young'un's heart so easy. You know, he'll tell me, that child tell me, well, can I pray for you? I hear some of your children, they'll come over our house and pray, and they'll say, bless Brother Ken. Lord, that does something for you, folks. So we ought to be teaching our children to pray. So that is the fellowship in the gospel. And then, look if you would in verse number 6, their faithfulness in the gospel, back to that text. Not only their fellowship in the gospel, but their faithfulness in the gospel. He said in verse 6, and here's a powerful verse, very powerful verse. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, Let me ask you something. When was your beginning? Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it or accomplish it to the day of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to say tonight that grace found us. Thank the Lord for that. In Ephesians 2, verse number 1, grace found us. He said, you hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. In time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, that word's behavior, times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us. Verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Grace that found us. Now, I don't know if you noticed this or not, but he said in verse 3, the flesh, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We better be careful what we're saying about others, because they just doing the only way they know how to do. But the grace of God come to you and quickened you, made you alive by the Spirit of God, and he begun a good work in you. Let me ask you something. When did that begin in you? You say, well, I'm saved, preacher. Okay. When did it begin in you? When did it begin? I can tell you exactly when it began in me. When did it begin? Grace that found us. And then you notice the goal that fashions us. He said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you. God's got something picked out for me and you. And you know what it is? To be more like his son. Let's look, if we could, in Romans 8 and verse 29. Romans 8 and 29. This goal that fashions us. This is what he said. To whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed. That word conformed is fashion to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now you'll always notice in the teaching of the Word of God where predestination is used, it's there to be predestined to the image of his son. Preacher, did God predestine man to hell or heaven? Well, no, he didn't. Said he created hell for the devil and his angels. That'd keep you in the middle of the road. If you go to hell, you'll go there as an intruder tonight. You'll go over the blood of the Lord Jesus. But we that believe tonight, we are predestined to be conformed to what? The image of his son. Are you more like Jesus than you used to be? Watch what he said. He which hath begun a good work in you. Friend, when God starts in you, he's going to be working out of you. And there's a lot of things that we have to go through to make us more like Jesus. Many of you favor your people, favor your earthly father. And my, we ought to be favoring our earthly father in many things tonight. I want to ask you this goal that fashions up, if he's working this thing in you, you see that? Being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. The goal that fashions us. I want to ask you tonight, are we improving in holiness? Does sin bother you? 1 Peter 1 and 15. 1 Peter 1 and 15. Does sin bother you? When they say something vulgar on your TV, does it bother you? When somebody says an off-color joke, does it bother you? It ought to. The Bible says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That's behavior. Because it's written, be ye holy, for I am holy. My, this goal that fashions us, this work in us, we ought to be improving in holiness. Then we ought to be increasing in service. Look in James 2 and 14. James 2 and 14. James was a very, very smart Bible scholar. Won't you look what he said? Increasing in service. James 2 and 14. What doeth it profit, my brethren, Though a man say he hath faith and hath not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful of the body, what doeth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You know what he's saying? He's saying, if you've got faith, it works. And he said, if you ain't got faith, it don't work. This is what he said in verse 19. Underline this. Thou believest there's one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. That word believe is going to send more Baptists to hell than anything going on tonight. Everybody believes in a God or Jesus, most people. But it's never been a faith started working. It's never been a work begun in them. See that? The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith hath wrought its works, and by works was faith hath made perfect? The scriptures fulfilled and said, Abraham believed God. It was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. So here it is. You see then how that by works a man's justified and not by faith only? You say, well, I'm saved, preacher. Okay, let me ask you. He's saying, what kind of works you got to back it up? He's saying, your works don't produce faith. Your faith produces works. Now, let me ask you this. It said in verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. You say, well, preacher, I'm saved. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what kind of works is your faith bringing? What kind of works is it? Well, in Galatians 5 and 22, watch what your Bible says about this thing of the gift of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit lives in me and you, it ought to be some fruits coming out of us. What is the fruits that the Holy Spirit brings? Are we being more like Christ? Are we increasing in service? Look what he says. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance, that word self-control. Against such there is no law. Folks, if we're saved tonight and our faith is working, these fruits ought to be coming out of us in our life someplace. You don't get there overnight, but it is a process. It is a continual work going on in you. Back to the text, and then we close. Philippians 1. Being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. I asked you, are you improving in holiness? Are you more like the Lord tonight? Are you increasing in service? Do you have works with your faith? Are you doing things for the Lord Jesus, spiritual things? Are you impacting a community in your family? These things ought to be going on in your life. Being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Their fellowship in the gospel, their faithfulness in the gospel. But then verse 7, their fearlessness in the gospel. He said, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. Anyone who claimed a greater kingdom than Rome or a greater king than Caesar may soon share his chains and his cross. But he said, you know something? Y'all are set for the defense of the gospel and the confirmation of it all. Oh, how we need to be standing on this Bible. Standing on this book. This book is the final authority. It's everything we need. We ought to know more about it. If we want to know something about God, it's in here. We want to know something about the Lord Jesus, it's in here. This is everything we need. Paul said, I want you to stand in the fellowship of the gospel. I want you to stand with it. He said, I don't care. You ain't got to bow to Caesar. To stand with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, tonight, what a dear church that they were to the Apostle Paul. What a dear fellowship. Could you imagine that as Paul wrote this letter and he was locked up in a prison cell, how they longed for Paul and prayed for Paul and loved to see him? Isn't it a blessing for people when you have a memory of them? It's just good things you remember about them. What a blessing tonight for some people we've met in this old walk of life that's been a blessing to us. Now, I appreciate the Lord tonight and His goodness. I appreciate the opportunity to open up this Scripture, and I appreciate you coming tonight. Please remember those on our prayer list and pray. Remember the leadership of our church. Oh my, how the Lord is blessing us, and I thank Him for it.